O sacrament most holy, O sacrament divine, all praise and all thanksgiving be every moment thine. O sacrament most holy, O sacrament most divine, all praise and all thanksgiving be every moment thine. O sacrament most holy, O sacrament divine, all praise and all thanksgiving be every moment thine. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, Immaculate Heart of Mary, St. Joseph, St. Michael the Archangel, our holy guardian angels and patron saints, St. Faustina. Please be seated. Good evening, everyone. And it's so wonderful to say these two words, actually one word, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Our Lord is risen as he promised and he goes before us. Let us never lose sight of that. But before we begin this evening's conference, I just want you to take a couple of seconds and reflect. Silence of your heart. And ask yourself, what would I do with myself if Almighty God forgave me all of my sins and the temporal punishment due to those sins if I did one thing? I went to confession. Think of that. To kneel down to say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. And on this day, in accordance to his revelation to us, by receiving him in Holy Communion, by venerating this image of divine mercy, this icon of mercy, with the words, Jesus, I trust in you. Hearing those sacred words, I absolve you from your sin. Every sin you have ever committed and the temporal punishment due to that sin is forgiven and forgotten. What's holding you up? Think of that. Is it pride? Is it being afraid? Is it saying I don't have enough trust in Jesus? I don't want to reach out into a darkness, so to speak, and have something grab my hand to say, come, come follow me. Psalm 76 expresses to us, in Judah God is known. His name is great in Israel. His abode has been established in Salem. His dwelling place is Zion. He has broken the flashing arrows, the shield and the sword and the weapons of war. Glorious art thou, more majestic than the everlasting mountains. The stout-hearted will be stripped of their spoil. They sank into the deep. All the men of war will be unable to raise their hands. At the rebuke of Jacob, both rider and horse laid stunned. But thou, terrible art thou, who can stand before thee? When whence thy anger is roused. From the heavens thou didst utter judgment. The earth feared and was still when God arose to establish just judgment to save all the oppressed of the earth. It's an expression, a truth, a reality that Almighty God is going to judge us one day. We are going to stand before him and he is going to judge the world to renew it. To cleanse it, to purify it of all sin. But he goes on to tell us in the sacred scriptures and in the diary of St. Faustina. Faustina writes, write this, our Lord states, before I come as the just judge, I am coming first as the King of mercy. Before the day of justice arrives, there will be a sign given in the heavens of this sort. All the light in the heavens will be extinguished. And there will be a great darkness over the whole earth. Then the sign of the cross will be seen in the sky, and from the opening where the hands and the feet of the Savior were nailed will come forth great lights, which will light up the earth for a period of time. This will take place shortly before the last day. I honestly believe that those lights are already lit. Have you ever heard of the Southern Cross in Australia? You can look up and you can see the cross of Jesus and the wound of the side. All our Lord has to do is turn out the lights, and God forbid, the party's over. He is calling us to repentance. He is calling us to mercy. He is calling us to sacrifice, to become saints. Are we open to that call? Will we be prepared when he comes to us, or he calls us to himself? He goes on to say, in the old covenant, I sent prophets wielding thunderbolts to my people. Today, I am sending you with my mercy to my people of the whole world. I do not want to punish aching mankind, but I desire to heal it, pressing it to my merciful heart. I use punishment when they themselves force me to do so. My hand is reluctant to take the sword of justice. Before the day of justice, I am sending the day of mercy. And this message is just not for Saint Faustina, the secretary of God's mercy. It is for every man, woman, and child who has ears to hear and eyes to see and feet to walk, hands to touch, a smile to give. Have you been telling everybody and anybody about the divine mercy of Jesus Christ? How he says to us, do these simple things and I will forgive all sin. No one have I excluded, he would tell Faustina, but they must learn to trust in me. He says, even the demons in hell believe in my justice, but they will not believe in my mercy. And we have been given this gift. Am I praying my chaplet daily? Am I using the sacramental life of the church to its fullest extent? Am I following the teachings, the infallible teachings of the Catholic Church? Living the Ten Commandments, living the Stations of the Cross, living the Sermon on the Mount, and being joyful all the while. We stand at a watershed moment in history. Let me give you a little quick synopsis of what's taking place in the world in the last, say, 150 years. In 1884, our Holy Father, Pope Leo XIII, gave us the St. Michael prayer. That he requested that it be prayed after every low mass for the protection and defense of God's people. And in the end days, Michael will rise up and he will defend the people of God. That's Daniel. In 1916, the angel comes to the children of Fatima and he teaches them Eucharistic adoration, Eucharistic reparation, how to receive Jesus, how to atone for sin, and how to offer everything that we do to the merciful heart of our Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of souls, to keep our brothers and sisters and ourselves from falling into the pit of hell. Because what's truly at stake is this. Are we going to spend eternity with God in heaven, or we are not going to spend it with him and we will languish in the pains of hell where there'll be no second chance? Don't fall prey to that. In 1917, Our Lady of Fatima comes. And she expresses to the children, pray the family rosary. Offer yourselves as victim souls, as sacrifices, because the sacred and immaculate hearts of Jesus have designs upon you. And do not be afraid. I am your heavenly mother. In other words, place your hand and your heart into hers and allow her to take care of you and envelop you. In 1918, Saint Padre Pio, only priest that we know about other than Christ himself, who has all five wounds of Jesus, was given the stigmata. So you think about it, 1916, 1917, 1918, we're celebrating the 100th anniversary of all these events. We're also, looking at the events of 300 years of the Masonic war against the church. We're also looking at the 500th anniversary of the Protestant revolt of Luther and Calvin and King Henry in England. All Catholic, breaking up the foundations of the church. History is repeating itself. And what are we as Catholics doing about it? God's giving us the message. Proclaim my mercy. Tell them about repentance of sin and go forward into that dark night and have no fear. Our Lord comes to Faustina in 1935. As a matter of fact, it's Friday the 13th, September 13th, 1935. And she has this vision. And she sees an angel of God coming from heaven with his hands full of lightning bolts, ready to chastise the world. And she prays and she prays and she prays and has no avail. The angel keeps coming. Suddenly she says, I hear the voice of Almighty God, the Most Blessed Trinity, say, pray this prayer. Eternal Father, I offer thee the body, blood, soul, and divinity of thy dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for my sins and the sins of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion. He goes on to reveal to her, this is the prayer that holds back my Father's chastisement. Pray this prayer every time you pass by or into chapel. So when you pray it tonight, when you pray it tomorrow, remembering you are holding back the justice of Almighty God. He is giving us an extra period of time to prepare for his second coming, to stand before him. And why is heaven ringing the bell? Why is it alarming its children? Because times call for it. And it calls for us to do our fair share. It's wonderful to get down on our knees and adore God. It's wonderful to get up and sing in praise. It's all part of our charism. But at the same time, we have to be people who are missionary, going out into the world and proclaiming God's mercy. There is absolutely nothing he will not forgive, provided we ask him. And the surest, safest way of doing that is to go to confession and to hear those sacred words, I absolve you from your sins, go in peace. And what relief it brings to the soul. What an experience of God's mercy. When our Lord speaks to us about mercy, he states this, my daughter, my pleasure, my delight, nothing will stop me from granting you graces. Your misery does not hinder my mercy. My daughter, write that the greater the misery of the soul, the greater its right to my mercy. Urge all souls to trust in the unfathomable abyss of my mercy, because I want to save them all. On the cross, the fountain of my mercy was opened wide by the lance for all souls. No one have I excluded. Do you know they gave Jesus Christ the hero's death? Look at the crucifix, and how can you say that is a hero's death? If you study ancient warfare, say the Philistines were fighting against the Israelites, and you and I were in a foxhole together, and I was mortally wounded, I'm not coming out of this, but you have a chance if you get away. I would look at you as my brother and say, listen, I'm going to plant my staff or my shield into the ground, I'm going to expose my chest, and I want you to take your sword and run me through. I'd rather die by the hand of a friend than by them, because they're not going to be merciful. At least you have a chance. When the Romans executed Jesus, they separated his wrist, his elbow, his shoulder, his ankle, his knee, his hip. There's absolutely no support for the body. And then they racked him with nail on a tree. As he cries out, it is finished, and he gives up the ghost, Longinus is called to take the spear and pierce his sacred heart, and he does so. God calls all people to himself. But how is that a hero's death? Because you see, as Longinus pulls out the spear, blood and water flow out of Christ's sacred body, showing us the mercy of God in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and the mercy of God in the confessional. The white ray, pale, resplendent, transparent, to make pure. The red ray, to wash souls pure and clean. For there is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood, and he is the Lamb of God. He would also go on to say to Faustina, Stay within inside the shelter of these rays, for they keep you safe on the day of justice from the just hand of my Father. And he's speaking about the seven sacraments of the church. And we can go through the seven sacraments, and they're there. But for time's sake, never, never, never lose your way. Excuse me. Always open your heart and to say, Lord, forgive me my sin. Lord, allow me to approach you. And Lord, it's through the sacramental life of the church that I find my strength and my courage and my trust to go forward. Our Lord goes on to tell us, from all my wounds, like streams, mercy flows for souls. But the wound of my heart is the fountain of unfathomable mercy. From this fountain springs all graces for souls. The flames of compassion burn me. I desire greatly to pour them out upon souls. Speak to the whole world about my mercy. He rejoices in the title, mercy. Proclaim that mercy is the greatest attribute of God. All the works of my hands are crowned with mercy. Have you ever did the meditation or contemplated the wounds of Jesus Christ? What is this hand here? It's a handshake of friendship, isn't it? It's an arm of embrace. For the priest, it is the hand that holds Christ in his hand. It is the hand that is raised in mercy and authority to forgive or to bound. It is the hand that my sins place that wound there with. And then the other hand, for me, it's the hidden hand of strength, because when I see someone who I haven't seen in a while and I'm in love with that person, my one arm goes around and the other arm comes in and locks in, and you're not going anywhere. Like my mom or my nieces and nephews, you know? I don't know about my brothers and sisters, but that's okay. Good shake and we're gone. But the foot, have you ever done a meditation on the foot? That right foot, what do you do every morning? I put my best effort forward, don't I? I put my best effort and my best foot forward, and I take that step. Here we go again. And I go off with the greatest joys and excitements, expecting the greatest things. But sometimes it doesn't happen that way. And it's a little hard during the day. And here comes the other wound of the foot on the left side, obedience. Am I faithful? Am I loyal? Have I been a good husband, a good wife, a good child? Have I lived in the teachings of the church and followed the examples of Christ and the saints? Have I not gone astray? Excuse me, and picked and chose what I wanted to do instead of what God wanted to do for me? These are all questions we have to face each and every moment of every day. And our Lord says, hide in my wounds. But the wound of my heart is the ocean of mercy. And if you are not there, this is Mother Teresa, if you are not there, that ocean is not complete. That one little drop signifies someone is missing. Don't be that drop. Don't be that drop. Souls that spread the honor of my mercy, he said, I shield for their entire lives as a tender mother, her infant. And at the hour of death, I will not be a judge for them, but a merciful Savior. Write this, everything that exists is enclosed in the bowels of my mercy, more deeply than an infant in its mother's womb. He's getting personal. I'll tell you a little story about what happened to me and my four brothers. My brother Jim's a priest in the Philadelphia Archdiocese, and my mother's dying. I drove all the way from Kentucky to Philadelphia to be with her. I prayed my office with her. I prayed the chapel of divine mercy with her. And it was always an argument against the five brothers, you know, amongst ourselves, who was mom's favorite? And my mother had lost the power to speak, okay? So my brother Jimmy, the priest, he's sitting in the little cubbyhole with my brother Charlie, my older brother. And they're talking back and forth. And I'm looking at my mom and I'm praying with her and I'm talking to her, you know? And I said, here we go. That little smirk came on my face. I said, what was that, mom? What was that? And all of a sudden you see Jimmy and Richard look up like, what's he doing over there? And I said, mom, are you sure you want me to tell him? And Jimmy gets up out of his chair and I said, sit down, Jim. Mom just told me I'm her favorite. And I'm telling you, I think I saw my mother kind of smile because she knew I got him, you know? But to pray that chaplet for a soul that is going home to Jesus has unbelievable effect on the soul. Our Lord says, you can pray that chaplet for any soul anywhere in the world, and I will defend them as my own honor. Because at that supreme moment, not only does God come for that soul, but also Satan. And that battle takes place. And we are kind of like that ping pong ball in the middle of it. So therefore, I encourage everybody, pray the chaplet for the dying, for those who stand before the justice and mercy of God. They need it. It has great consolation. Not long ago, I was in a parish mission. A woman comes to the rectory and says, Father, I'd like to get the missioner to come and see my father. Hasn't been to church in hundreds of years, I would say. This guy was a rough bird, I'll tell you that right now. She says to me, you know, Father, he needs to speak to you. I said, well, he has to invite me. Okay. The priest or the woman leaves. The priest says to me, Father, if you can get this guy to go to confession and receive communion tomorrow, it'll be a miracle. Because the first time I saw him, he threw a hammer at me and cursed me out like I've never been cursed out before in my life. I smiled and said, Father, he's my kind of guy. The next day, we went over to the man's house. I took Jesus in the pics. And I went into his house, and he was in a single wide trailer. And all of a sudden, I saw, you know, one of those double stuffed lazy boys. He's getting up out of that. He's got a rope like a Franciscan friar cord with four or five knots on it, and he's pulling himself up like this. And he gets up, and he's bent like a U. And I said to him, what did you do for a living? He says, Father, my day starts out looking either green or brown every day. I can't lift my eyes, no peripheral vision, too much strain on my head. I'm in constant pain. I was 5'11 when I came to this place, you know, 40 years ago, and now I'm 5'6" because I have osteoporosis. I'm in constant agony. And see her over there? She doesn't love me. It's just kind of some false respect that she has. Her other two sisters want nothing to do with me. My wife, you know, angry and when she died. And I looked at him, I said, his name was Andrew. I said, Andrew, what would you say if I told you, because we're right in the Easter season, if you went to confession today, we venerated this image of divine mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. I gave you communion. Every sin you have ever committed and the punishment due to that sin is forgiven and forgotten. He looked at me straight away and said, no, why do I got to go to confession to a priest? It was my best sales pitch. I looked on his shelf and there was a picture of his wife. And I looked at him and said, Andrew, let me ask you another question. Let's just say you and your wife got in an argument. It happens sometimes in relationships, doesn't it? And she's out in the garage and she's got three cigarettes going between four fingers, man. She really wants a piece of you tonight. Do you apologize to her on the picture on the shelf, or do you man up and go outside and apologize to her in the garage? He said, okay, I'll go to confession. I confessed him, I anointed him, I gave him Jesus in Holy Communion. You should have seen this man crying like a baby. 43 years he had been away from the sacramental life of the church. And it wasn't tears of, oh my God, you know, I'm going to die. Or no, it was tears of joy. In other words, he experienced the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God, and it's unconditional. That's the beauty of it. It's unconditional. If you had to throw a condition on it, he would say, please go and sin no more. But if you do, come back. I'm waiting for you. His daughter emails me a few days later and says, Father, you're not going to believe this. He's not perfect, but he's a changed man. The priest comes once a week now to bring him Holy Communion and ask him if he wants to go to confession. How our Lord must rejoice at that title of mercy. How our Lord rejoices in using each and every one of us as his hands, his back, his smile to be that vessel of mercy. We're in it together. That's why I'm encouraging you, go out and tell the world, be lights of hope to others who live in darkness, and be not afraid. And if you take a lump or two along the way, that's okay. United to Christ in that suffering moment for the salvation of your own soul and the salvation of other souls who do not yet encounter him. Faustina would state this: I realize more and more how much every soul needs God's mercy throughout life, and in particularly at the hour of death. The chap which mitigates God's anger, as our Lord himself has told me. Conversion. Once as I was going down the hall to the kitchen, I heard these words in my soul: say unceasingly the chaplet that I have taught you. Whoever will recite it will receive great mercy at the hour of death. Priest will recommend it to sinners as their last hope of salvation. Even if there were a sinner most hardened, if he were to recite the chaplet only once, he would receive grace from my infinite mercy. I desire that the whole world know about my infinite mercy. I desire to grant unimaginable graces to those souls who trust in the mercy, or in the divine mercy. Most especially at the 3 o'clock hour, implore my mercy, especially for sinners. And if only for a brief moment, immerse yourself in my passion, particularly in my abandonment at the moment of agony. This is the hour of great mercy for the whole world. I will allow you to enter into my mortal sorrow. In this hour, I will refuse nothing of the soul that makes its request of me in the virtue of my passion. Simply, set your alarm clock during the day or even in the early hours of the morning for 3 a.m. or 3 p.m. And as it wakes you up just for that moment or reminds you just for that moment, immerse yourself in the mercy of God through his passion for the salvation of souls. And you are fulfilling God's work. Pray for souls that they be not afraid to approach the tribunal of my mercy. Do not grow weary for praying for sinners. You know what a burden their souls are to my heart. Relieve my deathly sorrow. Dispense my mercy. And you have to understand, when he says, you know what burden they are to my heart, he's expressing the I thirst from the cross. That I thirst is, he doesn't want to lose anyone. Have you ever been in love? And you're separated from the one that you love? Or, you know, your husband has to go off, or your wife has to go off, or God forbid, your child has to go off to war? Or they're separated by, you know, countries or states, and you're not going to see them for a while? You know that pang. And this is what our Lord is saying to us. They burden him. We burden him. Why? Because he's in love with us. So embrace that love, satiate that thirst, and allow Jesus to use you as he sees fit. Trust. Let the greatest sinners place their trust in my mercy. They have the right before others to trust in the abyss of my mercy. My daughter, write about my mercy towards tormented souls. Souls that make an appeal to my mercy delight me. To such souls I grant even greater graces than they ask. I cannot punish even the greatest sinner if he asks an appeal to my compassion. But on the contrary, I justify him in my unfathomable and inscrutable mercy. Write that before I come as the just judge, I first open the door of my mercy. He who refuses to pass through the door of my mercy must pass through the door of my justice. No one, God forbid, has to stand before his justice. We have a mission to stand in their stay and as their advocate to unite ourselves to the saints and pray for mercy for all souls. And therefore, to have that great desire, that great thirst to become a saint. In the world, it'll tell you, you want to become a lawyer, a doctor, a business tycoon, a president, a football player, a professional athlete, whatever it may be. But our whole whole desire should be to become a saint. And our Lord states this to Faustina. This firm resolution to become a saint is extremely pleasing to me. I bless your efforts, and I will give you opportunities to sanctify yourself. Be watchful that you lose no opportunity that my providence offers you for sanctification. If you do not succeed in taking advantage of an opportunity, do not lose your peace, but humble yourself profoundly before me, and with great trust, immerse yourself completely in my mercy. In this way, you gain more than you have lost, because more favor is granted to the humble soul than the soul itself asks for. And I'll leave you with this. Saint John Paul II, the Pope of Divine Mercy, stated this to us. What is mercy if not the boundless love of God, who confronted with human sin restrains the sediment of severe justice, and allowing himself to be moved by the wretchedness of his creatures, spurs himself to the total gift of self in the Son's cross. O happy fault, which gained for us such a great Redeemer. Who can say he is free from sin and does not need God's mercy? As people of this restless time of ours, wavering between emptiness and self-exaltation and the humiliation of despair, we have a greater need than ever for the regeneration experience of divine mercy. My dear brothers and sisters, we must personally experience this mercy, this tender-hearted mercy of the Father, and in turn, we want to be capable of that mercy. Let us learn to forgive the spiral of hatred and violence which stains with blood the past of so many individuals and nations can only be broken by the miracle of forgiveness. And to be able to forgive, we must experience that forgiveness with the words, I absolve you. May the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ fill him with himself. May he watch over you and your children's children's children. And may you be bathed in mercy for all time. Amen.